Our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 2 through 11. When John heard in prison that the Messiah was doing, he sent word to his disciples, and he said to him, "Are you the one who has come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Isn't it a relief when someone finally asks that question that has been nagging at you, but you were too embarrassed to ask? And when the person who asks is someone who seems like they should have already known the answer, or at least they were more in the know than you, doesn't that feel even better? Today's scripture reading gives us that same feeling as we find John the Baptist asking a question. John the Baptist, the one that Jesus himself describes in glowing terms in this same passage, a prophet's prophet, none has been born greater. John the Baptist, who leapt in his mother's womb when Mary entered with Jesus in hers. John the Baptist, who told the crowds who ventured into the wilderness to be baptized by him that one more powerful than he would come, one whose sandals he was not worthy to touch, one who came before him to be baptized as well. And when that happened, John said that he should not baptize Jesus, but rather should be baptized by him. That John the Baptist asks a question that seems like one he clearly knows the answer to, or at least one he used to know the answer to. Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? What has happened to John to leave him not only having this question, but willing to ask it and to send emissaries to find an answer and bring it back? Well, what has happened is prison, for one. John has been thrown into prison by Herod, and the experience, understandably, has shaken loose a few questions for the one whom he believed he was preparing the way for. But it's likely more than just those circumstances in which John finds himself that leaves him with questions. It might also be that Jesus' ministry doesn't look the way he thought it would. It doesn't seem to be fulfilling the prophecy he had been sharing with those who sought him out when he was by the river preaching and baptizing. Listen to a few words from Matthew 3 to get a flavor of the vision that John had cast. bear fruit worthy of repentance. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. John saw a Messiah who would clear the land of the unfruitful, who would throw the chaff, the sinful and the unrepentant, into the fire. So how was it that the very pinnacle of chaff, King Herod, had been permitted to throw John into prison, would eventually demand John's head? How could that be? The only thing that made sense in John's belly was that maybe he had been mistaken about Jesus. So he asked the question out loud, and Jesus sends an answer back. Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. Now, we do not get to see what John's response is to Jesus' answer, but we might envision it. The late professor, author, and minister, Dr. David L. Bartlett, says that knowing as we do that John was a chosen man, a sainted man, he probably responded somewhat better than you or I might to that answer. You or I, Bartlett supposes, would probably think something along these lines. Well, good for the blind, the lame, the lepers, the deaf, and the temporarily dead. You may notice, Jesus, I am still in prison. Now, you and I may not be in prison like John, but I suspect that each of you, as I know I have had times in life when you have wondered if this Jesus is really the one, or should we still be waiting? We may not have ever asked the question out loud, but we know that when we look around, things don't look like the Messiah has come. Things don't feel like the kingdom of God has begun. Things just don't seem like it's tidings of comfort and joy for all. So what gives? Did we have it all wrong? It's in those moments that I believe we find an oddly wrapped, unasked for present. In those moments of doubt and disillusionment, there is a blessing to be found. A blessing we find when we ask a question and receive an answer that doesn't really seem like a straight answer at all. A blessing we receive when we ask why and are answered back with why do you think? When we ask, are you, and are answered back with, what does the evidence before you say? When we become disillusioned with the world, ourselves, and God, we then have an opportunity to look the lies that led the delusion in the face and to reassess what the evidence around us tells us is really true. Writer Barbara Brown Taylor, she's one of my favorites, if you haven't already picked up on that, she describes it this way. When we are disillusioned, we are set free to turn away from the God who was supposed to be in order to seek the God who is. Every letdown becomes a lesson. Did God fail to come when I rubbed the lantern? Then perhaps God is not a genie. Did God fail to punish my enemies? Then perhaps God is not a cop. Did God fail to make everything run smoothly? then perhaps God is not a mechanic. God, you see, is bigger than all of these. Genie, cop, mechanic. He's bigger and more mysterious. The blind receive their sight, but not all of the blind. The lame walk, but not all of the lame. The lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor hear the good news, but not all who are so afflicted are set free. John still sits in prison. And we sit here hundreds of years later with that nagging question within us, just waiting for the next opportune moment to raise its ugly head. Are you the one, or are we to wait for another? Barbara Brown Taylor observes, "Blessed are those who keep a list of what God is doing and not only what God is not." That was the challenge for John. That is the challenge for us today. That is a challenge for all disciples. It is easy to come up with a list of grievances, of things not made right, of where God was not putting acts to root, where the chaff is messing up our lives. It is blessedness, though, in the midst of all of this, to be able to look around and see where the oppressed are freed, where the afflicted are healed, where the lesser are made greater. And let me tell you this, if that is a blessing, it is sheer joy to be instruments of this freedom, healing, and lifting up. It is easy to think that in a kingdom of God, there should be no need for things like our angel tree ministry. In the face of those needs, those questions start to bubble up within our stomachs. Has the kingdom of God really begun if there are all these children in need? But in the face of these questions, Jesus asks us to look around, to see evidence of him all around, and to meet him there, to help him meet the needs that are before us. Many of you did just that, picking an angel off of a tree, shopping and returning bags full of love and hope to be given to those children next Saturday on pickup day. Thank you for being a faithful disciple in this and in many, many other ways. It is in that work that we become sure of the answer. Yes, Jesus is the one. And yes, Jesus is the one we are waiting for. May we find evidence of this all around us when we need it. And may we be the evidence for others when they do. Let us pray. Merciful Heavenly Father, sometimes it is hard to imagine that you left this world in our hands, left us to be witnesses to the grace and the love that you have given us. Sometimes what is before us to combat is overwhelming. But Lord, you just place us in a situation, a unique situation, where we meet people and face what is going on around us. You just ask us to be love and grace in those places. One interaction at a time, Lord. That is where we meet you, and that is where others meet you as well. Thank you, Lord, for being our answer. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.